Welcome. I am Bibi McKenna, and I am an occupational therapy graduate student at the University of New Mexico. In this occupational therapy podcast, we are talking to Terry Abraham, who is from the Pueblo of Laguna, about her experience working alongside occupational therapists within Native American communities. Terry is a licensed professional clinical counselor who has worked in the field of disability since 1973. Throughout her career, Terry has also served as a music therapist, special education teacher and administrator, certified educational diagnostician, and national certified school psychologist. She has extensive experience working within state institutions, tribal programs, public education, the Bureau of Indian Education, outreach programs, community college, national and state Indian parent advocacy programs, and community mental health programs. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Terry, I'd like to start by asking, how did you become familiar with occupational therapy?
Just by the nature of working in the field of disability and occupational therapy, where therapists are a part of the team who supports those children, adults, elders across the continuum.
Wonderful. How many years would you say you've worked alongside occupational therapists? All the way from the beginning?
Yes, actually.
Wow, that is a long time to be observing all of us occupational therapists.
They are a great, great support system. And it was early on realized the value of their expertise and picked their brain, and when I was in administrative roles, required them to teach the staff, the parents, and the children or the elders, whoever they were working with. They helped me build my bag of tools that I continue to use to this day.
So when you say that they were required to teach, can you tell us more about that?
So rather than just doing therapy with a child, and we'll use children as an example, that in isolation, it was like, no, because the skill that you're trying to teach them or technique to incorporate into their daily lives needs to be done day in, day out, morning to night. So it was imperative that we understand that skill and what it was going to accomplish for the child. And so with that, that they taught us so that we could do the technique appropriately.
That's interesting. In another interview, speaking with Dr. Joanna Cosby, she pointed out that her job as an occupational therapist working with children is to do that sort of teaching because she only is with that child maybe 5 hours a week.
Absolutely.
But the teacher would be with that child 35 hours a week, or the parents obviously with that child all the rest of the time. And so in her mind, it wasn't enough to simply be successful with herself and the child. Everybody needed to be successful with that child.
Absolutely. And that was the point that we made with the therapists as well, was that because they were only with the child that snippet of time in a week, for their time to be meaningful for the child, with the child, and for that child to improve, it had to be practiced day in and day out. And where was that going to lie? With the families and with the staff.
In a clinical setting then, as a counselor, how did you and the occupational therapist come together to create the best environment for the children?
It was a holistic approach. You have a human being. You're working with that if it's a child. And we'll use children just for the simplicity. And that child has a family. And they all are a unit together, the same as when they came to school. We were a unit. And that unit was big because it was not just the child coming to school. it was a family. And so whoever worked with that child, it was with a big picture of including all the support system.
Do you find that that feeling of the whole family coming in, that there's an element that is different within a Native American community than it would be in, say, a non-Native American community?
Generally, it was a way of life that the family was all included. When I worked with non-Native families, in some, the family was included or definitely a part of the activities, and in others, not so much. But overall, because of extended family and so many people being involved in the day-to-day lives of the children or the elders, that it was just the given that it was not an individual person.
Within a Native community.
Yes, within the Native community.
That's really interesting. When working with occupational therapists then in a Native community, how is that different? How do those occupational therapists serve and support a Native community?
I believe that they have to have the mindset going in when they are working in Native communities that their role is bigger than just providing direct service to a student. That it is about teaching the community, the parents, the family, the staff. And so there was an instance with my staff when I ran the tribal program. So we had therapists. And we talked about that was the expectation. And there was one therapist that was a bit resistant to that. They just liked working with the person. And so I wrote it into their contracts. You know, I was like, no, this is the need, and this is what's expected of you.
In your experience of working with occupational therapists over the years in all of these different settings, what has been unique that you've observed within occupational therapy that makes it more supportive or more usable within a Native American community as a support to overall wellness?
I think because of the holistic approach, and occupational therapists typically deal with life skills, with fine motor skills, that the knowledge that they share with us is so profound in the sense that little techniques to help a particular child in buttoning or putting on clothes, zipping, there are things that we can use with all children, with all elders. And unfortunately, the nature of the beast in a school setting for a child to receive occupational therapy services, they have to qualify with a disability. And the reality is, across the continuum, everyone possibly could benefit from the techniques that are shared by occupational therapists, such as in dressing, building up a pencil grip, being able to sit on a therapy ball that will help you center and focus and concentrate, how to stimulate or create awareness of oral motor. And with the team, with occupational therapy and speech therapy sharing, you can see growth more significantly when the therapists are working together to elicit language, to increase motor skills. There was an example where I took a family member, and it was to a private company. And the speech therapist and the occupational therapist work together with a group of children. So they had them shooting baskets and doing language activities. And it was so wonderful. And so then we really pushed for those therapies to be done in the classroom when appropriate, if at all possible, so that other kids could benefit as well. And as I talked earlier about them helping me build my bag of tools when I worked at the community college, so now you have adults who are in post-secondary. They're not going to receive occupational therapy services or speech services. But I had tools that I had learned from the therapists to be able to offer to them to build their own bag of strategies.
That's really interesting. So what I'm getting from this is that from your experience, the value is that it isn't just a whole person, which is something that we talk about a lot as occupational therapy graduate students, that we are addressing the whole person. But in this context, that we are addressing the whole family or the whole community, the whole therapy team, the whole school.
Yes. Yes, that as we talk about in Native communities or belief systems, the holistic approach. You're starting to see what that means within a Native community is much broader than, as you said, just that whole person.
Yes, which is very different still from some other treatment modalities where maybe we only focus on the injured part of a person.
Absolutely. Classic example of that was when my uncle was at the VA, working with that therapist and having them teach us or teach me so that we understood how to support him, whether it be in positioning or how to do an exercise to help him regain as much skill as possible.
That's wonderful. And it adds another dimension, again, to what we learn as occupational therapy students. We are taught about the lifespan. We are taught about different interventions, different ways to help at different stages of the life. And in the short term, we are taught to think about what will happen when this person goes home, when they are discharged officially from your care. And so we have a view of time. But this is a different dimension of the impact that we can have in this moment by creating a foundation of knowledge or toolbox, as you say, for everybody involved to take over the long haul. That's good to hear that we are out there doing that, in fact. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good addition to our toolbox as students to realize how significant that has been in your experience.
For sure. And as all the different arenas that occupational therapists have an opportunity to work, from hospital settings, intensive neonatal, all the way to nursing homes and assisted living facilities with the elderly. And so in that, for me personally, it just shows the significance and importance of the belief that I have about teach, teach, teach constantly. Using a nursing home as an example, they have activity therapists or someone who does activities with the residents. So using those techniques that occupational therapists use, whether it be for motor, for eye-hand coordination, for hand movements, for eating, for dressing, teaching those to the staff along with the residents so that whenever they interact with them, they're encouraging that resident to do those activities so that they're not in a vegetative state or just sitting there.
It's a continuum.
It is.
It's wonderful. In your bag of stories, I'm sure, that goes with your box of tools, are there any other specific stories that you might be able to share with us that really bring the point home that you're trying to make about the importance of education and how that affects every community, really, over the course of its life?
Absolutely. When I was running our tribal program, so this was for children who were more significantly involved. The term at the time was children who were severe and profound. The tribe had received a grant to bring home our young adults who had been educated off reservation. We had these young adults, and so it was helping them get ready with vocational skills. We had the school-age children, and then we started an infant STEM program. So getting into the homes, and oftentimes families were ashamed, and so the children were hidden. But in building that trust relationship, the things that I did with the children were therapies. And it was from my bag of tricks. For example, is a child I worked with who's now in her 30s, who was born with no muscle tone. And how I started working with her was using occupational therapy strategies. Family had a water bed, so I laid her on the bed. And the weight of my hands creating the rocking motion to stimulate that, graduated to a mini trampoline with her nestled against my body, to walking, learning brushing techniques to help with toileting. And she now lives in a group home, is independent, is walking. So she's definitely a success story. She's an integral part of the family.
Wow. That is really amazing and wonderful to hear. Do you have any final thoughts for us about the importance of occupational therapy in Native communities?
The one thing that I would offer to occupational therapy students is to really be a teacher, to be willing to share your knowledge, because the results will be profound and the ripples will be exponential, because the more people who know those skills will be able to help an individual time and again. But as I talked about, they helped me build my tool bag, that they help families understand and build their tool bags. And as we talked about within a school setting, how the limitations to accessibility of occupational therapy services create a narrow window because you have to meet the disability criteria first. But the reality is those life skills, it's a continuum. And there are many of us out there who can benefit from the strategies, as we talked earlier, building up a pencil grip. How profound is that for teachers to understand? So when they're observing children in their classroom and see a student struggling to try that, when you have children who have attention issues, the skills that an occupational therapist will bring in about things that they can do to help them focus and concentrate, like being able to sit on a therapy ball. Sensory motor issues, understanding about when you have a child that's really uncomfortable and always wearing the same clothes, and to understand how that may be a sensory issue and how it's impacting his learning or her learning. feeding, fine motor skills. When I began to understand about proprioception, when I learned that word, it was like, man, that's cool. But that joint compression and how it helps a child, their sensory system to reorganize. And so in creating that awareness at home, at school, for teachers to be able to use with any child when they see that, that these activities are just such a gift and so important for us all to understand, to be able to use with all of our kids.
The solutions might seem simple on the surface, but they have profound effects, particularly on how the brain is developing.
Indeed. Absolutely.
And all of us students should be taking heart that even if we feel like we would like more time to spend working with a child or a family or an elder, that the time that we do have can have lasting impacts.
Absolutely. And the way that you can get that more time is by sharing your knowledge and teaching others so that it lives through them.
This is great information, Terry, and I really appreciate you joining us here today to share this.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure as well.
If you are a member of a Native American community and would like more information about occupational therapy, talk to your doctor, your child's doctor, or even your school administrator about a referral for an occupational therapist. You can also check out the New Mexico Occupational Therapy Association and the American Occupational Therapy Association at their websites, which are listed on the KUNM webpage with these podcasts. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.